our scripture reading a few moments ago, we heard about the healing of Naaman, and we hear echoes of that story in our next scripture from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let us pray. O Lord, as you walk and move among us here today, help us to hear you as you speak. Help us to call upon you. Help us to listen to you. Be obedient to what you're telling us to do in our lives. We pray this for your glory. Amen. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now that was last Sunday's call to worship. But come to think of it, it's actually every Sunday's call to worship. Today, even after Thursday's emphasis on gratitude, it's still our call to worship. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. And I emphasize that partly because when we get settled into the church's life and its rhythm, sometimes we lose sight of what a unique kind of gathering this really is here today. It's true, there's a lot of it that's so familiar to us. How many of you are sitting in the same spot where you usually sit on Sunday morning? That part of it. Our order of worship remains essentially the same. Sit here, stand here, pray here, sing here, give here, listen here. And yet step back for a moment, consider what all of this adds up to, really. Here is a body of people whose primary purpose is coming together to express gratitude and praise to the one whom we acknowledge as Creator and Sustainer and Savior. Every Sunday, we assemble to offer our thanks. Every Sunday, we assemble to offer our thanks individually, collectively to the Lord. I like the way that author and pastor Eugene Peterson has summarized it. We recollect all that has happened among us by Christ's design. We praise the Lord who makes our lives, like all things, work together for good. Is there any other place in our society where so much is remembered and praised as here among Christians in worship, where there is such a concentration of memory and such exuberance in gratitude? Is there any other kind of place like this in that respect? So rather than thoughtlessly go through the motions of another Sunday morning in the sanctuary, let's remember what a sacred kind of opportunity this is, especially in a society that's as secular as ours is and is so committed to self-determination as ours is in so many ways. What a unique kind of assembly this really is here on this morning and every Sunday. In times like these, we need to recall that we're here today not primarily to perform for the Lord Jesus. We're here to respond to the Lord Jesus as he moves among us. The theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoke of how preaching is basically Christ himself walking among the congregation in its gathering. Christ himself walking among the congregation and through the congregation of his followers. And as he walks upon us, we call out to him for mercy. And we give thanks for his saving presence. That's the way it was for the man that we meet in today's scripture passage from Luke. As Jesus continues his journey toward Jerusalem, which is his destination of suffering and death, he passes through border territory where the tensions between particularly Jews and Samaritans is heightened and elevated. He encounters a group of 10 lepers who keep their distance and call out, announce themselves as unclean. They cry out for mercy and for help. All this was in keeping with Jewish law. After all, leprosy was a term that referred to really a whole range of skin diseases that kept a person not only physically ill, but in many respects isolated, cut off from life in community with others, particularly the life of God's people, the religious community. In many ways then, to be a leper was to be cut off, to be invisible. But Luke says, when Jesus saw them, when Jesus saw them. Luke doesn't just mean that these lepers happened across Jesus' field of vision. He means that Jesus truly and deeply saw them. In other words, Jesus didn't just see lepers. He saw people who had leprosy. There's a difference there. He saw people who had leprosy. He saw through and beyond their disease, recognizing their dignity, their personhood. And they weren't really used to being noticed in this way. Most of the time, other people overlooked them, or looked past them, or looked beyond them, or looked away from them, turned away from them, but Jesus looked, we're told, at them with eyes of mercy that knew them and took in the full measure of their suffering and their need for his help. That's really where gratitude starts, if we're focusing on thankfulness and gratitude, not in really how we see things, but in how God sees us. Remember that thankfulness doesn't begin primarily within you. We can talk much about, well, you need to be thankful or express your gratitude or these kinds of exhortations. And there is some truth in those kinds of things, but we need to remember that most of all, thankfulness doesn't begin inside us. It begins outside of us in the eyes of Jesus, the eyes of God. Thankfulness begins with knowing that you are seen, that you are truly seen by the Lord, by Jesus. Gratitude isn't something that you just have to generate on your own, out of your own will or determination to try to muster it up. It isn't what you bring to the table in the divine human relationship. Gratitude, we see, is actually the fruit of God's initiative, God's action. It's what happens when you recognize that however bad your circumstances, or however grievous your sins, or however deep your need, or however relentless your suffering, or however uncertain your future, you aren't invisible or unknown to Jesus. He sees you. He knows you. He sees into you. He sees into your circumstances, and he's responsive to those circumstances. So part of what we see in our scripture passage today is that Jesus' perception is prior to our perception. Jesus' perception is what enables our perception. That's what happens in our scripture passage. Jesus commands the lepers to go and show themselves to the priest so that they could be examined, that their healing can be confirmed, and they do as Jesus says. And we're told that it's along the way in the doing that they're healed, that they're restored. They trust and obey and receive the blessing of God's deliverance. But then Luke says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Now there's that phrase again, when he saw. So far it's been about Jesus seeing, Jesus' perception, except this time it's not Jesus doing the seeing, it's the leper who's now doing the seeing. He sees not just that his skin is fresh and healthy, though that's true as well, he sees in the sense of recognition. He sees in the sense that his healing isn't just the result of good fortune or a natural process, but God's work. In other words, he hasn't just gotten better, he's gotten mercy. He sees he's gotten mercy. So what does he do? He makes a U-turn, we're told, and he returns to the source of the mercy and the restoration. He praises God. Falls on his face at Jesus' feet and thanks him. That's the posture of humility and adoration. Jesus, you see, has raised him up. And now he moves down low, bends down low. Isn't that where gratitude often takes us in the deepest ways? It takes us to our knees in the presence of the Lord in his mercy. So what this man had experienced, when we think about his healing, it wasn't just a miracle of dermatology. It was a miracle of ophthalmology. His spiritual sight is healed. He sees and declares that his deliverance has come from the one and true living God. Now, he's no longer the man with leprosy. He's the man who's been healed and rescued and restored by God. He's no longer defined by his disease. He's defined by the faithfulness and the power and the love of the Lord. Here's a person who's been drawn back, really, into relationship with God, into relationship with God's people. In other words, he's been saved. In fact, Luke ends the story with Jesus saying to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." That's a blessing that Jesus gives to other people in Luke's gospel. It means basically, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. And notice that in this case, it took a stranger, in a way, to recognize the mercy and the grace of God for what it was. After telling us that the man praised God, thanked Jesus, Luke adds, and he was a Samaritan. Luke sticks that in there. He was a Samaritan, an outcast, a foreigner, a stranger. In many ways, the enemy, the adversary. So we see a lot in this whole scripture passage here before us today, but part of what we see is that the reach of God's grace has no limits. No one's spiritual sight is beyond the hope of restoration. God can create grateful and praising worshipers whenever and however God wants to, including among us here today as we come together to praise him. In fact, the reason we're here today, singing our songs, saying our prayers, making our offerings, listening to the word of God, presenting our gifts, is because we are recipients of God's undeserved mercy in Jesus Christ. We're part of that experience too. And in the presence of Jesus, we see that all of our differences or disagreements, those kinds of things, can start to fade into the background. And what comes into the foreground is the common need that we all have for the Lord's mercy and redemption. God's grace reaching so broadly. Sunday morning worship, that's where I started today, giving thanks and praise to God. Sunday morning worship is one of the primary ways that you and I come back on a regular basis to the source of our redemption and the source of mercy, come back to the source of our life and salvation. We return week by week to the one who truly and deeply sees us, who knows us, who cares about us, who forgives us, who redeems us. That's what gratitude looks like. It looks like what you see around you here today in this gathering, the thankfulness of God's people. And it's a way of life, really. It's a way of putting ourselves in God's presence, not only here on Sunday morning, but beyond Sunday morning in the daily circumstances that we encounter too. I like the way that Vance Hebner has described it when he says, our biggest problem in the church today is this vast majority of Sunday morning Christians who claim to have known the Master's cure and who return not at other times to thank him by presence, prayer, testimony, and support of his church. In fact, he says, the whole Christian life is one big thank you, the living expression of our gratitude to God for his goodness, but we take him for granted. And what we take for granted, we never take seriously. Notice the emphasis in this on gratitude, not only as a Sunday morning rhythm, which it is, and you testify to by your presence here today, but not only a Sunday morning rhythm, also a daily spiritual discipline as a follower of Jesus and a person who knows the Lord, giving thanks to God, not only in this Sunday morning gathering, but in our daily lives as well. So that's part of what he stresses, but notice how he also emphasizes the risks of not only taking God's gifts for granted, but taking God for granted. Now, it's true. We offer God thanks for specific gifts and graces and blessings from him, especially around this time of the year. The wonder and the beauty of the world that he's made. Food, clothing, shelter, family, friends, health when we are well, strength when we're sick, jobs and income, opportunities for education and learning, opportunities for work, opportunities for rest and renewal, and many other kinds of blessings that you could add to that list, I'm sure, as we're here together today. But our gratitude for the gifts, we need to remember, is inseparable from our gratitude for the giver himself. There's a reason that we sing, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because God is the ultimate object of our adoration and our acclaim. It's true. We see the gifts. This is a time of the year where the gifts come into sharper focus. Our perception, hopefully, is better. We see the gifts, but we serve the giver. One person put it this way, follow every gift back to God himself, and let it be a reason to fall further in love with the giver. Let me share that again. Follow every gift back to God himself, and let it be a reason to fall further in love with the giver. That's really where the man in today's text ends up, isn't it? At the feet of the giver, face to face with the giver. He doesn't just recognize the healing. That's part of it. He doesn't, though, just recognize the healing. He rejoices in the healer. He returns to the source, not only to express thanks, but to offer up praise. There's appreciation, but the appreciation is coupled with devotion to the one who's given to him and made him whole. Appreciation coupled with devotion. So this isn't just a story about thank you, it's most of all a story about thank you, Jesus. Appreciation plus devotion. Jesus, in whom the saving power of God is present, in whom the reign of God, the kingdom of God has come near, and he's experienced there in his own life. There's a pastor named H.B. Charles. He tells about a woman who attended his church regularly, and every Sunday she would say basically the same simple prayer. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. And week after week she prayed this prayer. The kids in the church would got to where they would giggle a little when she would start saying her prayer because they knew what prayer was coming. It was the same one she used each week. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. So one day someone in the church finally asked, why do you say the same basic, simple little prayer all the time? And she said, well, I'm just basically combining the two prayers that I know out of my own experience. She said, we live in a bad neighborhood, and some nights there are bullets flying, and I have to grab my daughter and hide on the floor, and in that desperate state, all I know how to cry out is, oh Lord. But when I wake up in the morning, she says, and see that we're okay, I say, thank you, Jesus. When I get up to take my child to the bus stop in the morning, she says, and she gets on that bus, and I don't know what's going to happen during the rest of the day, I say, oh Lord. And then when that bus arrives home and she's back and I can tell that everything went okay, I say, thank you, Jesus. So basically what I'm doing is taking, she says, the two prayers that I know, and I put them together. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Now, that sounds a lot like the shape of the man's story in today's text. At the beginning, he's shouting, oh Lord, have mercy. Oh Lord. And by the end, he's shouting, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So really, here in this place of worship where we've gathered today, and all those sacred spaces of ordinary daily life where we're worshiping as well with our lips and with our lives, in all those spaces, we need to remember that we're called to seek the Lord's mercy, see it where it happens, and then give thanks with devotion to the giver, the Lord. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Oh Lord, giver of so many blessings, we thank you. We thank you most of all for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the redemption and the healing and the deliverance that we have in him. Help us not to take your gifts for granted. Help us most of all, Lord, not to take you for granted, but to follow every gift back to you and give you praise. We thank you for your saving power at work in our lives, and we pray that we will grow in thanks, in gratitude, in generosity, in receiving your mercy and extending your mercy day in and day out. May we continue to praise you now and thank you. In this assembly here, hear our praises, receive our gratitude now as we fall before you, grateful for your mercy in our lives. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ.